So how are we all doing? 2018. In fact, we're 7 days in. 7 days in already. Wow, it's going fast, right? Isn't that what we said about 2017? Wow, it was like a blink of an eye and it was over with. Well, here we are, 2018. We got to make good. We got to have a lot of hope this year. Amen? Yeah, in fact, a hope that doesn't disappoint. I'm going to open up to Romans chapter 5, because how many of you this morning are hoping for something? Hoping for something to change. Something you might want. Something you might need. Or you're just hoping for a better 2018. Well, Romans 5, verse 5, it says, "Now hope does not disappoint, because the love of God has been poured out in our hearts by the Holy Spirit who was given to us." The word hope in verse 5 is the Greek word empis. It means a confident and positive expectation of good. God wants you to have hope. He wants you to have a confident expectation of good. Because as His child, all right? See, when I got to that, I said, people, we are His children, right? We are? So then you are His child. Okay? I had to make sure we established that. And as His child, He favors you. And He does not favor one of us above the other. We're all the same in His eyes. Some of you, I know, just said, "Oh, come on. Really? Really?" You know, in Acts chapter 10, verse 34, in the Message Bible, Peter fairly exploded with his good news. It's God's own truth. Nothing could be plainer. God plays no favorites. God plays no favorites. Romans chapter 2, verse 11, New Living Translation. "For God does not show favoritism." That's what it says. There's nothing else there. "For God does not show favoritism." And you don't have to do anything to deserve God's favor. You know, that's one of the hardest things to learn about God's goodness and favor. In Psalm 23, verse 6, the ERV version, easy to read version, "Your goodness and mercy will be with me all my life, and I will live in the Lord's house a long, long time." That's eternity, brother. That's eternity. "But your goodness and mercy will be with me all my life." When you look up the word mercy here, it is the Hebrew word chesed. And it is translated to mean kindness, loving kindness, faithfulness, merciful, favor. Translated as favor. So you can read it as, "Your goodness and favor will be with me all my life." You know, you need to say that. You need to say, "Your goodness and favor will be with me all my life." His favor will be with you for a lifetime, folks. That's what that means. A lifetime of favor with God. That should really excite you. The fact that you don't have to do anything for it, though, it just boggles people's minds. He wants you to always be expecting something good from Him, just for no other reason, because you're His own. You're His own. Turn to Colossians, Colossians chapter 1. And we're going to read verses 26 through 29 there. says, the mystery which has been hidden from ages and from generations, but now has been revealed to his saints. To them God willed to make known what are the riches of the glory of this mystery among the Gentiles, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory. Him we preach, warning every man and teaching every man in all wisdom, that we may present every man perfect in Christ Jesus. To this end I also labor, stirring according to his working, which works in me mightily. I'm going to read you that now from the Message Bible. This mystery has been kept in the dark for a long time, but now it's out in the open. God wanted everyone, not just Jews, to know this rich and glorious secret inside and out, regardless of their background, regardless of their religious standing. The mystery, in a nutshell, is just this: Christ in you. So therefore, you can look forward to sharing in God's glory. This glory is the Greek word doxa. It means a most glorious condition or state of that condition with God the Father in heaven, to which Christ was raised after he had achieved his work on earth. That's the glory that you're going to share in. You're going to be with Jesus up there with the Father. That's what that means. That's what sharing in that glory is. And when you share in that, that brings more glory to the Father. Now, in the Webster's, it says glory is a high renown or honor won by noble achievements. I would say there were some noble achievements done by our Lord Jesus Christ. And we're going to share in those. Verse 28. It's that simple. That is the substance of our message. We preach Christ, warning people not to add to the message. We teach in a spirit of profound common sense so that we can bring each person to maturity. To be mature is to be basic. Christ. No more, no less. That's what I'm working so hard at day after day, year after year, doing my best with the energy God so graciously gives me. Paul got his strength in his energy from the Lord. He had to. You read what Paul did. He needed to draw on that strength and energy, because he could not have done it in his own, could he, brothers? No. And you know that Paul wrote this while he was in jail? So it's for sure that he needed some hope, didn't he? Yeah, he needed a confident and positive expectation of good. Because Christ is in you, the hope of glory, you can expect the glory of God to shine not only in one area of your life, but into every area of your life, including your family, your job, your ministry, your health, and your finances, your everything, everything. God wanted everyone, not just the Jews, to know the riches and glorious secret inside and out, regardless of their background, regardless of their religious standing. God's word says, now hope does not disappoint, because the love of God has been poured out in our hearts by the Holy Spirit who was given to us. God the Father gave us the Son. Son did what he was supposed to do. He went back home to heaven. God the Father and the Son then sent the Holy Spirit. They sent the Holy Spirit. So the love of God here is agape. It's agape love. Agape love is unselfish. It's unwanting for itself. It is unconditional. It's wanting the best for others. That's what agape love is. Wanting the best for others. In the past, you may have experienced disappointed hopes. And there is a hope that does not disappoint. When you are conscious of how much God loves you, the kind of love that we're talking about this morning is a hope that springs from the heart of God, who loves you very much. And He is willing to back it up. He backs it up with His unearned, unmerited favor that He freely gives to us, His children, through Jesus Christ, His Son. You know, and it's interesting, though, that the first mention of the Holy Spirit in the book here of Romans is tied up with the love of God. Without a doubt, the first thing the Holy Spirit wants to do is to establish in our hearts that God truly loves us. See, many people think that the Holy Spirit comes to teach us about power. And there is an amazing power to be found in the Holy Spirit. Amen to that? Okay. But the truth is, the Holy Spirit came to reveal not the love of power, but the power of love. Love. It's the power of love. When you walk in love, you'll have power. Because you'll care about others, not about self. And you'll be imitating the Father. So folks, disappointments come and go. But with Jesus in your corner, know this and believe that better times are right around the corner for us. Success is right there at our grasp. You're closer to victory than you know it. Yes, you are. You're closer to victory than you know it. For God's love is so powerful. So I say, let it saturate the circumstances and know that there is nothing, nothing that He can't help you through. I'm going to say it again. There's nothing that He can't help you through. And it'll come through not in the way you think it should or the way I think it should. But He will take you through it. He has taken you through many things. You sit down and realize and actually think for a moment the different things you've been through. No matter how trivial it is, God took you through it. Yeah. No matter how bad it looks, He will get you through it. Storms don't last forever. They come to an end. And He'll bring it to an end. We simply got to have faith. So there are things that are going to happen. That's just the world we live in. Right, Tyler? Things are going to happen. But Tyler's sitting there. I want to say it on the tape, but ask him what happened to him this past week. Ask him. He'll give testimony to the Lord. So it's the world we live in that these things are going to happen. Okay? But because you know how much God loves you, you know that no matter what happens, and I mean no matter what happens, He is always working all things together for your good. Always. It's for your good. So I say it's all good. God is good all the time. Right? And all the time, God is good. So it's all good. What's good, you might say? All of it. Absolutely everything, as long as God is involved in the details. That should really be the Christian's mindset, shouldn't it? When you believe that God loves you, you will have hope, a confident and positive expectation of good. And we know where everything good comes from, don't we? Turn to James chapter 1. James chapter 1, verse 17. Beat you, Joe. James chapter 1. Okay. Every good gift and every perfect gift is from above. So what kind of gifts do we get from above?
Good
and perfect. That's what it says. Every gift that we get from heaven is good and perfect. And it comes down from the Father of lights. Who's it come from? It comes down from the Father. With whom there is no variation or shadow of turning. Now, does everyone know what an aura is? It's A-U-R-A. And it's pronounced with O-R-A, aura. Well, it is an emanation or field of energy believed to radiate from a person or object. Now, Star Wars fans, I'm not talking about the Force here, okay? This is not the Force we're talking about. All right? Because I know a lot of you went there right away, you know. And it's not going to work. It doesn't work that way. It is a distinctive but intangible quality that seems to surround a person or thing. An atmosphere. Everyone around you, including yourself, is a product of your environment. Your mindset, your attitude, the way you handle yourself, your actions, everything you do and say affects not only you, but everyone you come in contact with. Mm-hmm. Little story for you. There once was a woman who woke up one morning, looked in the mirror, and noticed she only had 3 long hairs on her head. Well, she said, I think I'll braid my hair today. So she did, and she had a wonderful day. The next day, she woke up and looked in the mirror. And she noticed that she only had 2 hairs left on her head. She said, I think I'll part my hair down the middle today. So she did, and she had a grand day. The next day, she woke up, looked in the mirror, and noticed that she had only 1 hair on her head. Well, she said, today I'm going to wear my hair in a ponytail. So she did, and she had a fun day. Okay, the next day she woke up. She looked in the mirror, and she noticed that there wasn't a single hair left on her head. Yay! She exclaimed, I don't have to fix my hair today! Attitude. Attitude is everything. It's all good. What kind of aura, atmosphere are you emanating? See, having a positive expectation of good will give you a hope that doesn't disappoint. People will feel it, they will see it, and they will want to be around you. They will want to be in the atmosphere that surrounds you. Amen? Life with God should be easy. It should be light, not hard, burdensome, or full of stresses. Turn to Matthew chapter 11. Matthew chapter 11. Look to verse 28 there. Matthew 11, 28. Jesus speaking, "Come to me, all you who labor and are heavily laden, and I will give you rest." It should give great comfort to us to know that Jesus sees the cares we carry in our hearts. He knows the worries that you have for your family and for your future. But we shouldn't be worrying, though. Jeremiah 29:11 in the New Living Translation says, "For I know the plans I have for you, says the Lord. They are plans for good and not disaster, to give you a future and a hope." He is going to give you a future and a hope, a confident and positive expectation for a good future. And not just a good future, but a great future. Don't limit what God can do. Don't just take the good, take the great. But that's why we have 1 Peter 5:7, don't we? In the Amplified Classic Edition, it says, "Casting the whole of your care, all your anxieties, all your worries, all your concerns, all of them, once and for all, on Him, for He cares for you affectionately and cares about you watchfully." He loves you. He loves you. Don't take on the cares. He can do that. You got to give them to Him. See, He got the future all planned out for us because He is the greatest planner. I was a planner, and I made my living that way for years. And when I laid out a plan to do a project, I laid out in great detail, down to every nut, every bolt. I knew how many it would take, how many we needed. I knew every gasket we needed. I never knew every piece of equipment that was needed, and I made sure that I organized it, had it ready, and it was on the job, ready to do it. And then when you went down to do the job, you looked at the plan, you followed the plan through, and you got the expected results. God's plan, He has results already lined up for you. He knows what He has for you. You don't know what He has for them, for you, but He has great plans for you, great plans for each and every one of us, because He doesn't favor anyone above the other here. We're all equal in His eyes. All equal. But Jesus knows we are human, and He feels the heaviness in our hearts as we struggle with the circumstances and situations in your life and your body. Everything that you have ever had or ever will experience, He's already been there, and He's already conquered it for you. He has already conquered it. He's taken care of it. Verse 28 there again in Matthew. "Come to me, all you who labor and are heavily laden, and I will give you rest." Rest here is the Greek word anapol. It means to cause or permit one to cease from any movement or labor in order to recover and collect his strength. You need to get your strength back. And how are we to do that? Right there, Jesus continues. He says, "Take my yoke upon you and learn from me. For I am gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light." So what is His yoke? Open book here. It's easy. And His burden is light. Message Bible. Remember, this is Jesus speaking. I can just see Him saying this. He says, "Come to me. Get away with me and you'll recover your life. I'll show you how to take a real rest. Walk with me and work with me. Watch how I do it. Learn the unforced rhythms of grace. I won't lay anything heavy or ill-fitting on you. Keep company with me, and you'll learn to live freely and lightly. Yeah, wow. Jesus says to you, I will give you rest. Jesus wants to give you rest. And he says that the way you receive rest is to be yoked with him. For his yoke is easy and his burden is light. There we go. He wants to give you a hope that will not disappoint you. He wants you to experience a rest like you've never have experienced before. Never. A sweet slumber, if you will. Because you have hope. You know, that's where some people have a hard time, though. It's with the resting part. Talking to a concrete guy back there. And his wife nodded. Yeah. Rest. Okay? They think that they have to be doing something all the time to help control the outcome. When the truth is, Jesus has already done it all for us. It's not about what you can do, but about what he can do if you will only let him. Our Bible calls Jesus' work his finished work, not his halfway completed work, his finished work. And he said it. It is finished. When you're working with someone on a project, you're always quick to point out when someone is going over something you've already completed. It's like you want to say, hey man, take a rest. I already did that. You know, you can do it again if you want, but why would you? Well, sometimes you even feel a little bit insulted when someone is going over your work like it's not good enough or something. That's kind of how it is with Jesus. Even though some of us might be perfectionists, yeah, I'm looking at you, girl. His finished work on the cross was complete perfection. Complete perfection. It's like that scrubbing bubbles commercial we see on TV. He works hard so you don't have to. We only make it hard on ourselves because we don't rest on his finished work. Think of how much less stress we could have if we depended on his finished work long before we come to the realization and we finally admit that we've done all we can do for about the 10th time. You know? How come it takes us more than one time? We keep doing it, keep doing it, and keep doing it, and then we finally give it to him, it gets done. Because it's already been done. The work's done. Colossians 1 verses 26 and 27 in the New Living Translation. This message was kept secret for centuries and generations past, but now it has been revealed to God's people, for God wanted them to know the riches and glory of Christ are for you. Gentiles too. That's all of you. And this is the secret. Christ lives in you. This gives you assurance of sharing his glory. Christ lives in you. 1 John 4:4. He who is in you is greater than he who is in the world. He's in you. The greater one lives in you. We have to realize that. And not just here, there, once in a while, but all the time. All the time. No matter what the circumstances are, no matter what the situation, no matter how you're feeling, he lives within you. I say that every day. The greater one dwells within me. I'm like you. I get up. I'm in battles every day. You think that the devil's going to take a break? Come on. We can't take a break from speaking the word. Jesus says, "For my yoke is easy and my burden is light." When you are yoked with him and you flow with him, you will find that there is nothing heavy-hearted, ill-fitting, or burdensome from the Lord. When you flow with the Lord, you will find that things fall into place. You will not be weighed down or stressed about things you just can't control. If you are feeling a heavy burden and it's weighing heavily on your heart, let me tell you, if the burden is heavy, it ain't from God. Because Jesus said his burden is light. Now think about that for a moment. When the heavy burden starts crushing on you, where do you think it came from? Just give it to the Lord. Let it go. You know, I'm not making light of the seriousness of your burden. No. So please, I don't want you to get upset with that. You know, I'm just pointing out what the Word says about it. Jesus said that his burden is light and his yoke is easy. It's like this, okay? Follow his leading and flow with him and you will find rest for your soul. Hope does not disappoint because the love of God has been poured out in our hearts by the Holy Spirit who was given to us. Hope, a confident and positive expectation of good. God wants you to have a confident expectation of good because you're his children and he favors you. Luke chapter 2, verse 14 in the NIV. Glory to God in the highest heaven, and on earth peace to those whom his favor rests. Peace to those on whom his favor rests. His favor rests on you. His favor and his favors, they're not just for every other day, folks. No, they're not. Just like God is good all the time, he favors you all the time. All the time. 24/7, 365 days a year. He favors you for a lifetime. That's how much he favors you. For your lifetime. Peace to those on whom his favor rests. Just like you want great things for your own children, how much more does God want for his? That's us. Now, hope does not disappoint because the love of God has been poured out in our hearts. A love so great for you that he gave his only begotten Son to die on the cross for you. And Jesus was obedient to the Father all the way to Calvary, where he loved you so much that he laid his life down for you willingly. In John 14:9, Jesus said, "Anyone who has seen me has seen the Father." They had the same love, and that same love was poured into our hearts by the Holy Spirit. That same love. So when you say it's not in me, yeah, it is. Yeah, it is. A love of God. There's power in love. The same love is what gives us a hope that doesn't disappoint. A confident and positive expectation of good. Hebrews 11:1, easy to read version. Faith is what makes real the things we hope for. It is proof of what we can't see. Faith is what makes real the things we hope for. And we are to be hoping for good things. Always keep your hopes up, trusting and relying upon Him. That will give you a hope that doesn't disappoint. Amen. You'll have good expectations. Amen. And guess what? He backs them. He delivers on His promises. Amen. 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 Thank you.